Well, I want to thank you for the very warm welcome to be amongst you, and I want to thank the folk for looking after me very well, Mr. and Mrs. Ashley, last night, and Mr. and Mrs. Cook during the day. And it's been good to have fellowship and to get to know the folk. As I said before, I can't remember if I've ever preached in Devon. I don't think that that is the case. Some years ago, we came on holidays, as many people do, from South Wales to Barnstable, and we were with David Kay for that Lord's Day, and we had a lovely time there. I trust in God's will that the relationship will develop perhaps in future days, and to see you again. And I'm sure that there'll be other places as well where we will be able to have fellowship one with another. The fellowship of kindred minds is very special, particularly in these days where so many churches are changing in their position in terms of their doctrine, and especially in the whole area of worship. And it's very good indeed, isn't it, when we can meet with like-minded brethren, know that we are one on these fundamental issues, and we all together then, although we are so few, seek to remain resistant to the terrible changes that are sweeping throughout evangelicalism. We wonder where all the changes will lead. Just begins, doesn't it, a little bit, perhaps the changing of a Bible version, although of course that's very significant, and just changing a few things here and there, and then eventually you find that there's a landslide, and so many churches and so many men have been swept away. Well, we rejoice with you that you have a good man here. I'm not talking about myself, although I trust that's true. You have a very good man, Mr. Monday, and very favoured to have such a godly man who preaches the whole counsel of God, and so winsome and so gracious. And we pray that the Lord will spare him and give him great health, keep these two elders in check, and pray that God will bless you together. Well, it's been very good to be with you and to have fellowship with you. I hope I don't do anything to jeopardize the possibility of coming again in future days. My text then is to be found from Matthew 23, Matthew 23 and verse 27. The Gospel according to Matthew chapter 23 and verse 37. These glorious words of our Lord Jesus Christ. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. What wonderful words they are. The Lord Jesus Christ, in his condescending mercy, compares himself to a mother hen that would gather beneath its wings her chicks who are in great need and are threatened. The Lord is nearing his death, and he speaks to the people here as he approaches Jerusalem, and speaks to these who are in the inhabitants of that particular city. As he does so, he looks back over the past years, the past generations, indeed the past centuries, when he sent continually prophets to the people to recall them from their sins, calling them off from their sins to repentance in the Lord Jesus Christ. He would reclaim them by those prophets. And now he himself, as the last great prophet, would yet call sinners to himself. It reminds us, doesn't it, of that parable in Luke 20, where we have there a householder who has a vineyard, and he lets it out to servants, and he goes on, doesn't he, a long journey. And in his distant country, he sends back to these servants, other servants who will get something from the vineyard. And every time he sends a servant to these servants, they treat these servants despicably, beating them and wounding them. And then he says, I will send now my son. They will reverence my son. And you remember in the account there that as the sun comes. These wicked servants who are farmers working on the householder's vineyard, they say to themselves, here comes the sun and the heir. Let us kill him so that the vineyard will be ours. And so as we look down through the centuries, the Lord sent his servants, the prophets, to receive homage from the people. But time and time again, they stoned the prophets and they killed the prophets till the last, when God sent his son in order that the people might seek the Lord, yet come into his own. His own received him not. And we know that the upshot of it all was this, that they crucified the son. They did not reverence him. As we think about these words here in the 37th verse, it's very clear, isn't it, that Jesus Christ is God. Doesn't he speak as God? How anyone can ever read the Bible, and especially the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, and not see that, shows, does it not, the innate blindness that lies in men. Think, these are the words of Christ. He says, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent to thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together? The inhabitants of Jerusalem, how often would I have gathered thee? He speaks as God. He down through the centuries sent his servants to draw people unto himself, that they might find shelter beneath his wings. And additionally, we see, don't we, the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ in the figure that he employs, a hen and her chicks. We find, don't we, that this language in the Old Testament is time and time again associated with God himself. It's language ascribed to Jehovah, but the Lord Jesus Christ does not hesitate to ascribe it to himself. Oh, there are so many verses that speak of this. You think of the reading that we had earlier on in the service in Psalm 91. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And then the fourth verse there. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. This is God. This is Jehovah. Trust in him. Come beneath the shadow of his wings. Find protecting love there. Trust him. And then the Lord Jesus Christ takes it to himself. If the Lord Jesus Christ, dear friend, tonight were not God, this would be blasphemous. No mere man could speak in these terms, knowing what we have in the Old Testament. It's reminiscent, isn't it, of the Lord Jesus taking up the figure of a good shepherd. When we have Psalm 23, the Lord, that is Jehovah, is my shepherd. And Jesus Christ says, I am the good shepherd. Oh, the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ shines forth in the words, in the actions, and in the deeds of our Saviour. Oh, this gracious figure conveys his deity. These wings, friends, tonight are the all-powerful wings of salvation. These wings of the Lord Jesus Christ are the wings that shelter. They are the wings that protect. They are the wings under which we are nourished. They are the wings that comfort us. They are the wings where we find fellowship one with another. Oh, these are the wings that speak about his mercy and his love and his grace that is shown at Calvary, where his own arms were outstretched and he was nailed to the cross. Here are his wings now, as it were, shadowing forth even unto us and beckoning us to trust in him. Ye sinners, seek his grace, whose wrath ye cannot bear. Fly to the shelter of his cross and find salvation there. Oh, if you take these words, we have a lovely tune to 514, which speaks about us flying then to the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesu, lover of my soul, let me to thy bosom fly. While the nearer waters roll, while the tempest still is high, hide me, O my Saviour, hide, till the storm of life be past. Safe into the haven guide, O receive my soul at last. And then in the second stanza, all my trust on thee is stayed, all my help from thee I bring, cover. You remember the words of this hymn. Cover, and I'm glad to say it is in the new hymn book, cover my defenseless head with the shadow of thy wing. The Lord Jesus Christ then, in this metaphor, we don't need to be super intelligent tonight, do we, to understand that this is a figure, this is figurative language. Here is a metaphor that speaks of what Christ is unto men and women. This hen that would gather beneath its wings its chicks. Now, very simply, friends, tonight, I just want to isolate two particular things here. I want to expound this text in a twofold way. And I want then to use the word would that we have in the text. There are two woulds, if you like, that we find here in verse 37. We have Christ's would. He says here in verse 37, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings? How often would I have gathered? This is Christ's would. But then there's another would there, isn't there? In fact, it's not a would, it is a would not. For there at the end of the verse you note, and ye would not. Ye would not. There's a contrast there, dear friends, tonight between the compassion and mercy of Jesus Christ and the obstinacy of the heart of sinful man. And it's these two things I want us just simply and briefly to consider tonight. First of all, then, as we think about this wonderful picture, we have Christ's word. How often would I have gathered thy children together? How well as a hen gathers her chicks. Now that figure surely is readily understood by us, isn't it? We don't need to be farmers. We don't need to have worked on a farm to understand this idea of hens and chicks. We see, don't we, that when there is trouble, the chicks will run to the mother hen. You think, for instance, of a bird of prey, and we see them very often, don't we, all over the country. Here is a bird of prey that is hovering menacingly over the farm. What do the chicks do? They run, don't they, for shelter beneath the wings of the mother hen. The mother hen sounds the warning. Perhaps these chicks are so inexperienced, they've never seen the like of it before. And there is the cluck from the mother hen. It's the word of alarm. And these little chicks scurry then beneath the wing. Or if you like, the skies begin to darken and the thunder begins to rumble and the lightning streaks across the sky and the chicks come a-running to the mother hen. Or it has been told, and I don't know whether this is an apocryphal story, it's a nice one anyway, even if it's not true, of a farm that knew a fire. There was a fire in a barn, and the barn was consumed by the fire and reduced to ashes. And in the morning, the farmer works his way through the barn. There in the midst of the barn is a singed, a burnt hen. But beneath the dead, burnt hen are chicks, and they're still alive. Perhaps somebody can tell me whether that's a true account or not. The fire fell. This hen died in protecting its little ones. Now, it is this kind of a figure that Christ relates to himself, showing tonight, friends, his power to save us, his power to deliver us, his power to protect us from the wrath of God that will fall on the last day. But it also conveys sweetly to us, doesn't it, his willingness to save us. We ought never to be in doubt this evening with all our fears that Christ is able to save and Jesus Christ is willing to save even such as ourselves. You might be thinking tonight, well, I'm so wicked, I'm so sinful, I've lived so many years without God. I see people in the church and how good they are and how upright they are, and I know what I'm like. But I wanted to tell you, dear friend, tonight that they weren't always like that. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ can save the vilest person. The Lord is able, but he's also willing to. And you see, we can draw upon this figure, can't we, this evening? The Lord Jesus Christ is not comparing himself that's a predator. The Lord Jesus Christ is comparing himself to something that is sweet and has, if you like, a maternal instinct and that gathers chicks beneath its wings. So there is a wood here, dear friends, this evening. We ought not to be nervous about preaching these things. Oh, the wideness of the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ. 'Tis a very wonderful thing. I want to make three simple remarks about the wood that we have in this verse. How often would I have gathered you, Christ said. The first thing is this. What do we need to be delivered from? Why is it that we need these sheltering wings of the almighty love of the Lord Jesus Christ? If we think of the figure of a hen sheltering its chicks from the hovering buzzard or from the fire that falls, what is it that you and I need to be delivered from? Well, in a word, friend, tonight, we need to be delivered from the condemnation due to our sin. From the condemnation due to our sin. Whether we like it or whether we feel it or not, the Bible is plain. The wrath of God is upon the sinner. His or her life is displeasing to God. And we know that to a degree, the Bible tells us. But there are times when we feel it too, in our consciences. We know it in life, because the Bible says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. This wrath of God. God says in his word that he is angry with the wicked every single day. If we do not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, when we wake up in the morning, we've not trusted God's Son. We've not bowed in repentance to God. We've not been brought from our sinful, selfish ways of self-pleasing. We're still living for sin. We're still living for self. God is against us. His anger is upon us. God frowns upon us. In John 3 and verse 36, we're told that the wrath of God is upon all those who do not believe on the Son. Friend, if you do not believe on the Son tonight, if you do not trust the Lord Jesus Christ, the wrath of God abides on you. What a thing that is. We know, don't we, however, that in this life, the wrath of God against us is also mixed, if you like, with God's goodness towards us. This is a remarkable thing, that we are able to live in the world that God has given to us. We might even blaspheme his name. We do such wicked things, and yet God still sustains us in this world. But you know, dear friends, it is but a reprieve. Because we know that on that day when Christ comes, the wrath of God will be meted out to us in full measure. In life, the Bible says, we are treasuring up for ourselves the wrath of God against the day of wrath and the revelation of the righteous judgment of God. God at the present time is angry with us. His wrath abides upon us. And even now, day after day, with our sins are we accumulating guilt that will one day break upon our heads violently in judgment. And then we will be as those in Revelation 6 who, when Christ comes, we will cry out to the mountains and the hills to fall upon us, to hide us from the wrath of God and of the Lamb. Perhaps it will be that we will have died, and almost, if this were possible, we would want to hold on to the very clods of the earth to keep us from that summons to appear before the august judge, before the living God, the holy God. We need these wings, friends. We need this shelter. In order to be sheltered from the wrath of God, how will we be sheltered? How will we be safe on that day? Because our God is a consuming fire, and we have to stand before him and give an account to him of all our sins and of all our rebellion against him. And to add to that, all our rejection of the times when we heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. But there's something else that I hasten on here as we think about Christ's word. And it's this. How would Christ gather us? How would he gather us? He says here, doesn't he, in the word, how often would I have gathered thy children together? How does he gather men? Well, if we think about the Old Testament, and we think about the days when he was on earth, it's clear. He gathers men and women through the preaching of the gospel. That's how he does it. That's how he would have done it, and did do it, in the Old Testament. He sent his prophets to call to the people. He sent Isaiah, he sent Jeremiah, and it was as though Christ through them was saying, how often would I have gathered thy children together? Hearken unto me, turn unto me. And in the days of his flesh, he called upon men to repent, didn't he? Repent and believe the gospel. But you see, that work goes on, dear friends, in Christ's representatives. And who are they? Well, they are ministers. They're not prophets in the Old Testament or New Testament sense. They don't speak inspired words, but they take the inspired word and they preach that word. And God then, through them, calls men and women to repentance. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 20, we read that they are in Christ's stead. That means that they are, if I use the word in the place of Christ, you could misunderstand that, but he sends them as ambassadors from heaven. And he through them says to them, be ye reconciled unto God. This is how, dear friend, tonight God would gather you beneath the wings of Jesus Christ. Don't wait for anything supernatural. An angel from heaven, he uses men of flesh and blood to call upon sinners to repent and to believe in Christ. But let me say a further thing here as we think about Christ's word. The figure here of a hen and chicks conveys to us the manner that he would call them. The manner that he would call them. And what manner is that? Well, isn't it a wonderful manner? Isn't there condescending mercy in the figure? He uses the picture of a mean and lowly creature to represent his overtures. How often would I have gathered you? This hen with its maternal instinct to gather its chicks beneath its wings, to shelter them from danger. Condescending mercy to wretched sinners and vile. How long-suffering, too, is the figure here. How often, he says, would I have gathered you? How often? Send in the prophets. He himself coming from heaven. Send in the apostles. And is it not the case that we have often heard these overtures of mercy to us? I would gather you, Christ says. What grace there is to a wicked people, a disobedient people. How often would I have gathered thy children together, despite who they are and despite what they've done? Oh, there is a wonderful word here, is there not? Christ's word. But I want to consider the second here, And it's very sobering, isn't it? We have Christ's word, his wings outstretched to receive sinners. But what do you notice here at the end of the text, verse 37, he would not. He would not. How often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. This shows us the obstinacy of men and women. It is in this respect that they show themselves as being most unnatural. The human heart bucks nature, doesn't it? Because chicks would fly to the hen. But you see, man by nature, man in and of himself, will not fly to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a natural thing for the chicks to run to the hen, but it is an unnatural thing for sinners to fly to Christ because of their hearts before him. I want you just for a few moments as we close this evening to think about this obstinacy, to consider this blindness and this folly. This obstinacy, this hardness of heart, is manifested really in a number of ways, is it not? I want you to think about this for a few moments. How do we see this would not, this obstinacy, this hardness of heart? Well, let me just say four simple things. One, we see the hardness of man's heart in the one he refuses. In the one he refuses. Who does he refuse? He says, I would not, to God in Christ. Dear friends, tonight, if you oppose the gospel, if you would not bow the knee to Jesus Christ, you are not bowing the knee to Lord God Almighty who sent his Son. Jesus Christ speaks with all the authority of the living God. You do not refuse merely a preacher tonight, whoever that preacher may be. You refuse God speaking in his Son. This was so in the Old Testament, because you see, with these Old Testament prophets, Jesus Christ was speaking through them. For instance, Christ was speaking through Noah. In 1 Peter 1 and verse 11 of the prophets generally, it speaks about the Spirit of Christ in them. So down through the ages, as the prophets addressed Israel, Christ was addressing Israel. And then, of course, we see it when Christ himself comes. And we think of the dignity of Jesus, the express image of his person, the image of the invisible God, Christ, or his character, or his person, or his nature, as he speaks to men. Oh, dear friends, tonight the Bible says that he is the one who speaks from heaven. Hebrews 12 and verse 25. He came down to earth from heaven. It is his gospel. It is the gospel message of salvation from heaven, of which the Lord Jesus Christ is the center. It is the gospel of God's Son. And if you refuse then these things, you are refusing him. God sent his Son, and his Son proclaimed these things. And even now he proclaims them in the preaching of the gospel. Consider in this light, dear friend, tonight, what he did to gather sinners. You remember how he said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. Unto him shall the gathering of the people be. Christ would gather men because he died for them. That's how he can gather them. And so as the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is preached, at the heart of it is the finished work of the Saviour. But you see, friends, if you harden your heart this evening, you're hardening your heart to him, to his gospel. to God's Son. You're hardening your heart to His work, to His death on the cross. You're refusing the only atonement that has been made for sinners like you and I. Oh, the hardness of the heart to refuse this. All the things that we refuse, but oh, to refuse this. What a serious matter that is. But the obstinacy here, furthermore, is highlighted by the fact that men will not, they would not, despite the danger they are in. Despite the danger they are in. And there was danger for these people in the days of Christ. He says to them, doesn't he? Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. The Lord Jesus Christ foresees the destruction of Jerusalem. And now they are in the throes of delivering up the Messiah to death. They're going to destroy the one who could save them from destruction. They're going to kill the Prince of Life. They're going to crucify the Lord Jesus Christ, rejecting Him. Oh, what obstinacy. What hardness of heart. Oh, the folly of men and women to reject the very one who could deliver them from sin and death and hell. Have you ever considered that, friend, tonight? Consider your danger. You see, the gospel is not offering you a little additional extra in your life. It's not saying, well, come to Christ and a few things will be sorted out. And you'll have a few things tacked onto your life and it'll bring you some happiness and a little bit of peace. No, dear friends, this salvation is your very life. This salvation is your only hope of heaven. This salvation is the only means that will bring you to glory. And you teeter, dear friend, tonight on the very verge of eternity. You are suspended, as it were, by a spider's thread from hell. God in His sovereign providence keeps you yet alive that you might hear the gospel tonight and live. Oh, dear friends, any moment we can be taken from this world. You probably have friends who have died. You go into a graveyard and you see, don't you, on the gravestones, people of all different ages who have died. Who knows but that this might be the last time that we hear the gospel. We are in danger. We are in peril. But oh, despite that fact, we would not trust Jesus Christ. And then we see, don't we, this would not, this hardness of heart, in that we often reject. How often, he says, would I have gathered thy children together? Ye would not. God through the prophets calling the people time and time again, they would not. Christ calling the people, they would not. And the gospel being preached time and time again, and men tonight saying, I will not. All the times we hear the gospel and the times we rebuff it. Oh, the hardness of the heart. The rejection of the word. The rejection of God speaking to us in the incidents of life. His providence. Or the times when we reject the counsels of our conscience. Such obstinacy. And then we see, don't we, as we think about this would not, that this obstinacy, this rejection is located in the will. Ye would not. Perhaps there's a degree of light in the mind, a degree of understanding. The preacher seeks to put things simply so that the youngest can understand. But you see, it's not merely a matter, is it, of the mind? It's not merely a matter of knowledge. It's a matter of the will. Will we believe? Will we bow the knee to Christ? Will we repent and believe the gospel? This all highlights to us, doesn't it, friends, tonight, that we need a new heart. We need a new mind. We need to be renewed in our will. Well, dear friends, we have Christ's word. How often would I have gathered thy children together as a hen gathers her chickens? Here's the grace. Here's the mercy of Jesus Christ to poor, hell-deserving sinners. Will it be said of us that we would not, having heard these things, having seen these things? Or may we respond to these overtures of mercy. May we run as chicks to the outspread wings of Jesus Christ, find in his death for us salvation. Find that blessed refuge that will mean that on that day, when Christ comes as judge, that we will find him to be our Saviour and hear those words, enter into the joy of thy Master. Christ would, or what is it with us? Will we seek him? Will we run for refuge to Christ to find salvation beneath the omnipotent wings of mercy?